Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You like NFL talk? Well, keep it locked in right here for the next hour. We got Mo Khan stepping up and in. We always hit the NFL with Mo. Look forward to his takes on this stuff. Remember, and we got Kaplan on Pharrell's show with his take on Russell Wilson. We'll play the clip from. But remember last week, and I told Cam, and Cam likes Justin Fields, and I get it. I got nothing against Justin Fields, but I think Fields is good. But you know, there's different levels to this stuff. And I said that there's not really like a crazy demand for Justin Fields. And lo and behold, what did Adam Schefter say today and yesterday? Not really a crazy demand. The Bears are kind of perplexed a little bit, right? That their phone's not ringing off the hook, we'll put it that way, for Justin Fields. And it doesn't mean the teams don't like Justin Fields, but it goes back to the fact that it's not what you have to trade for him, but if you're trading for a quarterback, you have to like him enough that you're like, yeah, this is going to be our quarterback for the next 5 years or whatnot, 3 to 5 years at least. And, oh, yeah, we're going to have to pay the guy. And like I said, I know everybody in the media, like they project stuff, right? You know, this team should do this because it makes sense for them to do it. And listen, Justin Fields is from Atlanta. He's from the area, but he also didn't draft him. And, you know, word is, and I believe it, that the Falcons don't want Justin Fields. That they don't look at it like, oh, yeah, Justin Fields is our guy. That the Atlanta Falcons are looking at the quarterbacks in the draft. Now, I don't know which one they like. I did my own projection on them. I was like, you know what? If I'm Atlanta, oh, hold on, we got the Sirius XM here coming in a second. What's up, Sirius XM, channel 159. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. We're talking about the NFL draft. For the record, it's 72-64 for the Lakers right now over Oklahoma City Thunder. Lakers are balling. We're on the Lakers in this game. So if you're the Atlanta Falcons, we know the weapons that they have, right? They've got Robinson, the running back, who's a stud. They've got Kyle Pitts, who's been underutilized, who's a good player, but he hasn't lived up because they don't have a quarterback, and they have a bad offense. Arthur Smith, no imagination. You got Drake London. You know what I mean? Like, you got some serious skill position players there. Like, who's a perfect quarterback to manage this? J.J. McCarthy. Right? That's what, like, I looked at him. Like, J.J. McCarthy is like a perfect fit, right? If, you know, he can do... You want to run the ball? Fine. You run the ball. You want to throw the ball? Fine. He can throw the ball, right? Like, Atlanta, it's very similar to Michigan, actually, right? Michigan had a great running game with Blake Corum, all right? So Robinson and Corum are different style backs, but still, you have a great running back, Donovan Edwards. You have great running backs. And Michigan Wolverines, they don't really have star wide receivers. They're really good. They're elite. Like, they're going to the NFL. Roman Wilson's, like, going to be a good NFL player. But, like, you give J.J. McCarthy star wide receiver, solid running game, he can run this thing. Like, as a rookie, he can run this thing. Like, look, the Atlanta Falcons nearly won a division last year with Desmond Ridder turning the ball over, like, every second possession. But J.J. McCarthy doesn't turn the ball over. And the reason why we told you, and I was saying, oh, you're just a Michigan fan. But no, I don't hype up every Michigan quarterback that comes into the draft every year. But I know how special J.J. McCarthy is. And it's funny, like, how people were so negative about him. And now suddenly the band, everyone laughed at Harbaugh. And he goes, I think he should be the first quarterback taken. Right? Oh, ha, 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 ha. He might be the second quarterback taken. It wouldn't shock me if McCarthy went ahead of Jaden Daniels. Right? The media is hyping up Jaden Daniels. I don't think Jaden Daniels did himself a massive favor by not participating in the combine. I get Caleb Williams doing it because Caleb Williams is a slam dunk consensus number one pick. Jaden Daniels, people are, not everybody loves you. Like, you're torn. Like, you would have been, like, put it, we'll see. If J.J. McCarthy ends up going ahead of Jaden Daniels, it's because of the combine. It's because J.J. McCarthy was just there, and he wooed and wowed everybody, right? And, you know, as expected, everybody that met him loved him, right? You know, they were like, wow, what a, you know, what, this kid's a leader, right? And the thing with J.J. is he just turned 21, right? Like, Michael Penix is 25. Bo Nix is, what, 45? But all kidding aside, he's 25 too, like, going on 26 or whatnot. Like, you know, like Sam Hartman. A lot of those quarterbacks in the draft have been around forever. So NFL teams don't like that, those type of quarterbacks. They want a young guy with upside that's going to get better. Like, how much better is Bo Nix going to get? He kind of is what he is. You know what I'm saying? He's good. And I thought Bo Nix did some good things at the combine. Bo Nix, like I said, like, I don't know if it, maybe, you know, maybe Atlanta like him. Maybe they're like J.J. You know, Daniels. But I got in on J.J. McCarthy to Atlanta at 10-1. It's now plus 450. As far as Justin Fields is concerned, teams know. That's the whole thing. Right? Teams know that the Chicago Bears are screwed and they have to trade them. So, it's, you know, I think teams will wait it out and then they'll start to get a little bit more aggressive. I don't know. We'll get Mokon's take on this. The Raiders could be a fit for Fields. Let's roll. Level 3 has begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenz, who have been kicking it for 120 minutes, but we got 180-minute full-court press going down tonight. Shout-out to all our radio affiliates joining us for the final hour of the program. We've been kicking it on the Sports Grid Radio Networks and Television Networks, Sirius XM Channel 159, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, SoCal in the house, the 50,000-watt juggernaut. And speaking of SoCal and juggernauts, LeBron James and the Lakers are rolling Oklahoma City right now. 77-64, a little under 4 minutes remaining in the third quarter of play. We've got a game going on in Sactown tonight as well. And the Sacramento Kings normally play close games. We talked about this. We jumped in on the Bulls. Small play on the Bulls at plus 4.5. We'll hope for the typical Sacramento ending in which it's close. It's a 7-point game right now. Sacramento are up 102-95. So I brought this up earlier in the program, and over the years I've gotten angry about the LeBron and the Michael Jordan debate, only because, number one, it's just stupid. Number two, basketball existed before Michael Jordan as well, okay? And I love Michael Jordan, but there's more players that are great than just, oh, LeBron and Jordan and whatnot. But as crazy as it is to actually say, you know, once you're as good as you are, consistently as you are, people take it for granted, right? They just expect you to be great all the time. But to put in context, I saw a perspective of LeBron James getting to 40,000 points. And to get to 40,000 points, a player would have to average 30 points a game for his entire career, play for 20 years, and play on an average of 67 games per season. Like, that, actually, like, to put that in context is, like, wow. It's just absolutely amazing. And LeBron's not even a pure scorer. That's not his game. I mean, he can set you up. He can rebound. He can do, you know, he can basically do everything. So that's my hot take of the night. LeBron James is good. Hot take. And this is coming from someone that used to loathe LeBron because he just destroyed my springs all the time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. 106-100 for Sacramento. We'll keep our eye on this. We got the Bulls plus 4.5. hoping for the old backdoor cover. Meanwhile, the Lakers are rolling. The Oklahoma City Thunder. I took the Lakers tonight. I was in a minority. The coach, James Young, was with us earlier. And the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, rolled the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. We talked about them being a good back-to-back team. They're actually 7-3 straight up in back-to-backs, Oklahoma. But the Lakers are playing good basketball. Denver are just that good. And let's bring in Mo Khan right now. TSN statistician, play-by-play man, former wide receiver, meteorologist, and more, jack of all trades, Mo Khan in the house. And Mo, I was watching the Denver game on Saturday against the Lakers, and they, I was just sort of marveling at their greatness about how calm Denver are and how they just let the game come to them, and they really are able to just sort of dial it up in the last 8 minutes. And it really does remind me a lot of Kansas City, actually. I wanted to get to this earlier with Coach James Young, and I didn't, so I'll do it with you. When you watch the Kansas City Chiefs play, Mo, I know in past years, they kind of had more of a complicated offense, I should say. You know what I mean? They were running like Texas Tech's offense, kind of, but it was a little flashier with Bieniemy. But you notice, like, the last couple of years, specifically this year, Kansas City, they don't really do anything fancy at all, right? It's very Tom Brady-ish, like, you know what I mean? It's very street football in the sense that we throw it to Kelsey. You know we're throwing it to Kelsey. We're throwing it to Kelsey. Mahomes just sort of, shovel pass here, sidearm there. If it's 3rd and 8, they get 9. You know what I mean? If it's they need 12, they get 13. They always just do enough. And it's sort of like a two-man operation. And it sort of reminds me of what Denver does. Do you think Denver are going to go back-to-back? Are they beatable? Can somebody beat the Denver Nuggets, in your opinion?
The West and the NBA, Gabe, is a meat grinder, right? The T-Wolves, unknown. We don't know if they're legit for the playoffs. I mean, they've won, two playoff series since 2003? I mean, we don't know. But then you look at the Phoenix Suns. Can they put it together? The Clippers, can they stay healthy? And that's going to be the key, because they might be the toughest team that the Nuggets might face at some point in the NBA playoffs. And then
I agree with that. But I think the Nuggets would beat the Clippers. But I do agree with that.
Right. And, if the Warriors sneak in, then perhaps the Lakers might sneak in. Who knows what they're going to do, right, in the next few weeks.
You're not selling me very hard on this, Mo. I say no. You're not selling me very hard on this. Denver are going to win the West.
I'll say this, though. The history of the Nuggets that I like most is that you're right. There's sort of that Chiefs-like aura where they don't care about scoring 500 points.
No.
They can beat you 98 to 94.
And not a lot of stars. Not a lot of stars either. A couple of stars. You know what I mean? Like Jamal Murray is only now sort of getting credit. But, when you compare Denver's roster to all these other rosters, people on paper would not think the Denver Nuggets are the best team.
No,
but they are
by far. They're not the most appealing team of style and bravado, right? They don't have the Steph Currys, the Draymond Greens. There's no personality to this team that says, "Holy cow, I hate Jokic or whatever it is, right? I hate Jamal Murray. I hate this guy." No, it doesn't happen for this team. I think at this point of where they're at, Gabe, they're just kind of coasting along here in a good way that they want to be healthy. Because remember, they played some tough series last spring and went to mid-June for the NBA run. And I think now for them moving towards March that we're in as we speak, is that for the next 6 weeks, we keep with what we have to do. We make sure we're healthy going towards early April. And that's when we find out who our matchup will be for the first round of the NBA series. And I think for this Western Conference compared to the East, we know Boston will have a far easier road, I think, to get to the NBA Finals than, say, the Nuggets will with what they have to go through potentially in rounds 1, 2, and 3.
I think, and not just to be sort of chalkish about this, but I think that the Milwaukee Bucks are really the only team that could beat the Celtics in the East.
Ooh.
In East.
Yeah,
I don't buy in. Are you like the Knicks? No. It was a nice run. They're not healthy. And even if they get everybody back, I doubt they're going to be as good as they were, right? They had something good going. They peaked too early. It is what it is. They got bad luck, whatever. Not buying into the Cavaliers. I'm not buying into, the Cavaliers, nice regular season team, but they've never done anything in the postseason. Mitchell's never done anything in the postseason. No. They got flattened by the Knicks. Like, the Knicks own their ass. So, seriously, but when you look at Eastern Conference, they do, to me, it's Milwaukee and Boston.
And maybe Miami, playoffs.
Miami are just that team in the playoffs that always just, you can't dismiss them. But I don't think they're very good, but yeah.
No, but they're not good now. But if you listen to the Miami radio stations that I do every so often during the week, they believe that, hey, look, they're built for April, May, and
Spoelstra's
June.
Spoelstra's a wicked coach. Yeah, he's a great coach.
And that's the key, Gabe, right? Spoelstra is that type of coach that you look at. Go through 1 through 8 in the NBA Eastern Conference for coaches rank, right? Joe Mazzulla is very good. You're taking Spoelstra over Doc Rivers. You're going to take Spo over Nick Nurse, perhaps. You're going to take Spo over everyone else below him, as you speak, even Tom Thibodeau. And the way he coaches up his guys, Gabe, is that he gets them locked in, and the angles that they take on the court, and it's all about angle approach with Eric Spoelstra. If he takes a perfect angle for his guy to cut and make a backdoor move, they win those type of games. So I think for them,
they don't have Vincent, though. Remember, they had Vincent on the run. You know what they need?
Either.
Yeah, those throws. They need Hero to step up and stay healthy and hit shots in the playoffs. Point blank. Because Butler's going to do his thing. Right, you got Rozier now too, but you need production from Hero.
You do, and I think for Miami again, if they get a good they're locked in, I believe, with the Knicks right now for a 4-5 matchup. I think as of the weekend that it was. So if they get the Knicks, they can beat the Knicks no problem, Gabe. And then afterwards, you flip a coin who they might get, probably Boston round two.
You just upset Knick Nation. I like how you did. Oh, they can beat them no problem. You dismissed it.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Knicks now are teetering, Gabe, right? I mean, they were flying out of the gates in 2024, and now they're kind of up and down. A buddy of mine's a dire Knicks fan, and he's like, I won't talk about it, because there's denial that the Knicks...
Their season's falling apart.
Together.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Gabe, Thibodeau, people don't realize, I'm a Bulls guy, right? So Thibodeau, he always has those runs where when he got to the Bulls, he built it up, hey, great run, but he wore them down eventually because of the style of playing. Guys got hurt and then never kind of bought into what he has. And I wonder now for the Knicks if they're at that fork in the road where Thibodeau's been out for, 3-4 years, give or take, if the wear and tear of his style play that he wants from his guys is starting to break down these guys and they're mentally kind of tuned out. And if they are, Gabe, watch out. I'm not saying the Knicks are going to collapse, but watch out. These next 2 years could be critical for Tom Thibodeau to make sure these guys are still buying into what he believes as a hard-nosed defensive-minded coach.
It's amazing because Julius Randle has been so heavily criticized in New York over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And now you see when he's not there, the impact that it has. They just don't have enough scoring, right? You watch the Knicks play. Nobody can score on that team. Brunson's the only guy that can score on this team. So speaking of the Bulls are in action right now as we speak. And I talked about it, Mo, and I bet on the Bulls tonight. All right. And I said, guys, it's risky. But I know Sacramento well. All right. Like, we're on the air every night when Sacramento, these games are on. So, all the time. And it's the same thing all the time with this team. Like, Sacramento, bro, could be up by 20 points, and it doesn't matter. They'd be like, yeah, don't worry about it. It'll be close at the end. Sacramento or one of these teams, they play up or down a level of competition. They play a good team. They can play well against them. They play a bad team. They'll play a close game. And here we are right now. The Bulls have come all the way back, Mo. They're up 111-109 right now with 37 seconds left.
Yeah, no, the Bulls will pull a choke at the end. That's how they are, Gabe. They're not built to close out games. That's not what it is, right?
We have two choking franchises going head-to-head, you say.
Right, and Sacktown's another team too, right? They kind of had that T-Wolves run last year, and now this year they're kind of struggling a little bit here and there and kind of trying to get in to be the sixth or seventh seed. But for the Bulls right now, Gabe, I think they're in that middle of no man's land. Are they going to be competitive? Are they rebuilt? And quite frankly, they have no flexibility. And this offseason, with what they could do with Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and the big Vooch, I'm not sure what they do. And I think for Bulls fans, there's such
they should start over.
They should, but there's such apathy towards management right now that they don't care what happens because this team is just floundering right now in the East.
Yeah, you're right. They want to get, you know, they made the play-in last year. They beat the Raptors, and then they lost. But I think they think, you know, maybe we can get hot, get into the play-in and get hot. I don't agree with that, but that's what they're thinking. We'll hit the NFL on the other side with Mo Khan. This is Sports Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Man, the Lakers are balling. D'Angelo Russell just hit a three. I think he was fouled. I don't know. There's a timeout or something. The Lakers are going crazy here. Like they just won a championship or something. They're having a good time. They're enjoying themselves. They're smoking Oklahoma City right now. It's 103-79. So looking good, baby. We're on the Lakers. And it's 111-109 right now for the Chicago Bulls with 5 seconds left. All right. We're kicking with Mo Khan, who's a Bulls fan. But let's get into the National Football League. We'll keep you guys up to date with what's going on here. Russell Wilson was officially released from the Denver Broncos. Adam Kaplan was on today with Scott Farrell. I'm on every day with Scott at 3:25 Eastern Time, 12:25 Pacific. The show starts, of course, at noon Pacific, coast to coast, baby. Let's see what Kaplan had to say about Russell Wilson.
You and I talked about this week. I told you they're not going to be able to trade him. Nobody's going to want him. So they gave up hope. They're going to cut him. They're going to avoid that guarantee next year, which is enormous. They were not going to guarantee that $37 million, so they're going to cut him before. Technically, he's got to be on the roster at the start of the league year, but they can cut him 1 minute after 4 o'clock next Wednesday on the 13th, and they're going to do that. They're going to cut him. Nobody wants him now. In terms of a trade, Russell Wilson may be able to find another team where he could compete for a starting job, but boy, it did not work, and he was awful 2 years ago. Made some improvement, not enough. The strangeness of the Broncos approaching him to restructure his deal at midseason, he said no. You knew his days were numbered. He's in his mid-30s now. He's been pretty durable. That's not been the problem, but he's in a regression. He needs to go somewhere where he's going to be supported. But Sean Payton couldn't hide his anger. You know how frustrated he was. This was not a secret. So they avoid the big salary next year, but they owe him this year's fully guaranteed salary. Bottom line is he'll be playing elsewhere now. Because there are teams that are still looking for a quarterback, a starter. He should be able to go somewhere to compete for it, but it's highly unlikely, Scott, he's going to walk in anywhere and start.
Interesting developments with Russell Wilson and where he's at in his career right now. And, Mo, I do agree with Adam in the sense that he's going to have to wait. I think that, you know, you have the draft, you have the Kirk Cousins situation. Russell Wilson could be an option for teams, but he's not going to be the first option for teams. So I think he has to wait this out and or accept being a backup and or what I think my prediction is basically that he just sort of waits this out and it's inevitable the quarterbacks get hurt, right? We see every year in the National Football League, I mean, how Joe Flacco just played in the playoffs this year. So I don't think the Russell Wilson story is over yet. I think he will he will play in the NFL again, but I think he's going to have to wait for the musical chairs game to be played here and teams address the QB situation and the draft. What's your take on Russell Wilson, and where do you think it's a potential landing spot for him?
Well, it's a stunning fall, Gabe, for Russell Wilson. I mean, the amount of value that the Broncos gave up to get him to believe he was the last piece to make them a competitive team in the AFC West was a complete pie in their face, egg in their face. I mean, look.
You could argue it's one of the worst trades in NFL history.
Yeah.
In hindsight,
probably, right?
With the results.
Right. Like, Nate Hackett didn't do a good job last year, right, and got fired for it. And Payton came in. And
Nate Hackett
realized,
has never,
like,
done a good job in his life, but I digress.
Right.
But sorry,
like,
go
you
on.
You know what, though? Like, Russ had a decent season, like 26 TDs, I think 99 TDs he had. I mean, they weren't bad numbers, but he wasn't the right fit for Sean Payton's offense. That's what it came down to. I think Payton realized, and he told ownership, look, guys, we need to get off of him. We'll take the hit for the next 2 years. And their hands have been, their cards have been released now, revealing what they're going to do. They're all in for a quarterback, right? Whether they move in to get McCarthy or someone else in the top 10 or top 13, whatever they're going to do with their current selection, they're all in. And they're saying to their fan base, look, besides the fact we're getting new uniforms in the fall or in the spring, we're going to rebuild with a franchise quarterback. And maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but in 2 years from now, we'll be that up-and-coming team that you're going to all enjoy, and we're going to take our medicine right now and see what happens. But for Russell Wilson, I mean, look, he can really bleep the Broncos and take the minimum salary and offset whatever he's owed from the Broncos. So if you're Pittsburgh, maybe Atlanta, if they don't go for Kirk Cousins, maybe the Raiders, who might say, you know what, we don't find the quarterback we want, we take him. You're right, Gabe. He might have to wait till after the draft to get what he wants. But at the end of the day, for Russell Wilson, he's no longer the guy that he was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or even 3 years ago, because I wonder now, the wear and tear he's taken, the amount of hits he's gone through the last 5, 6 years has caught up to him, and he can no longer be that multidimensional quarterback that we all enjoyed when he first came in 10 years ago.
I sort of thought that the Raiders would be a good landing spot for him, in which they don't really have to give, they don't have to give up anything to get him. As you stated, he's already super rich and he's already made money. The Broncos had to pay him. So he can go, like Russ could say, you know what? I'd like to play for the Raiders to get back at, you know, thinking he can get back at the Broncos being in the same division. You're a Raider fan. The thing is, though, Russ has never been a great deep ball passer to begin with. And you got Devontae Adams. It would be a disaster waiting to happen. And you're right about his stats. His stats weren't bad, but he missed a lot of open guys. He takes sacks. He didn't have to, etc. Right? So I can see the frustration. He doesn't operate fast enough. The ball doesn't come out fast enough. And I can understand why it upset Payton. But what do you think? Would you rather have him or Aiden O'Connell running the Raiders offense? Because quite frankly, I don't think he's better than Aiden O'Connell is.
Right now, O'Connell is probably the better option because he's a cheaper car.
And he'll know the offense now. And he'll have more, like, right. He's not a rookie, at least. He'll be more comfortable. And I'm not saying he's a long-term answer, but I'm just saying maybe you bring him in as a backup to Aiden O'Connell, you know?
I'll say this, right? Who's the new OC? Luke Getsy, right? Getsy comes from the Packers organization by way of the Chicago Bears, right? Who did he work with in Green Bay? Nate Hackett. So he can get intel from Nate Hackett about, hey, is Russ a good quarterback now? Can he fit what I want to run? Because remember, the same principles of what Hackett runs in offense, I guess he would like to run with the Raiders. And if it's going to be, well, hold on here. If he couldn't do it in Denver under my watch with Nate Hackett, why would I bring him to Vegas to run pretty much the same offense? So I just think that for what the Raiders are looking for, it has to fit that Packer-like scheme. Who's that quarterback that has the accuracy that can get the ball down the football field? But most importantly, though, can process the play so quick enough that, hey, he's not going to get hit in the pocket. And for Russ, you're right, Gabe, he doesn't have the same the quickness that he once had releasing that football. And he doesn't have the same ingenuity to buy himself time like he would always do in years 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So I think for the Raiders, I don't know if it's the right fit. And again, that Getsy-Hackett connection might be a reason why Russ could not come to the Vegas Raiders to be the starting quarterback this season.
What do you think about Kirk Cousins? I never believed he was going to be back in Minnesota. And Kevin O'Connell, with some cryptic comments, basically, is kind of letting it know that the Vikings are starting over at quarterback. I don't think he's re-signing with the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think they're going to offer him. I think he's going to move on. The question is where, right? So the Raiders have the money.
Probably.
I don't buy in Atlanta, Mo. I think Atlanta are drafting a quarterback.
His wife's from Georgia, right? So
yeah, so, that's what? Good. Yeah, but good for him. Doesn't mean the Atlanta Falcons want him. Like, I mean, right. Justin Fields. Justin Fields is from Atlanta, and they don't want him, right? So
right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing for Arthur Blank. He might say,
Harbaugh's wife lives in Las Vegas, right? Oh, the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? So that whole wife stuff. I mean, but listen, I'm not saying that the Kirk Cousins to the Falcons is going to be great for the Falcons. I think it'd be a smart move. I think they'd win a division and go to the playoffs, but from what, and I believe it, but from what I'm hearing is the Falcons want their own quarterback. They don't want a veteran. They don't want a short-term guy. They want to draft a guy. They want their own guy that they can mold. And to me, it's J.J. McCarthy.
But again, Gabe, we spoke about McCarthy, I think, 2 weeks ago. When he asked me about McCarthy, what do you think about his value? But we don't know what his true value is because in Michigan, Gabe, you know very well, you watch every Wolverine game. He wasn't throwing the ball 40, 50 times. It was 20, 25, maybe 30 times in a game, and we run the football. So I think in the evaluation process now, I know McCarthy, you know, the hot name at the combine was McCarthy, McCarthy, McCarthy. But now scouts have to bring him in for personal workouts, right? What's his arm strength like? What is he like in certain systems out there?
Well, we know what his arm strength is like. He had the second fastest ball of the weekend. He has more velocity than Josh Allen.
It means nothing, though, Gabe. That's the point.
Well, you're talking about arm strength. I'm just stating. He throws at 62 miles an hour.
Sure, but the process that's going to go through for McCarthy from here until mid-April is how does he fit into schemes? And I think for where he is, and look, he's probably not going to be the fourth quarterback that will be taken after Drake and Caleb and of course, Jaden.
I'll bet you right now money that he goes before Drake May. I told you that before, and I still believe it. He's going to go ahead of Drake May.
Here's what I'll say.
You want an on gentleman's bet? I'll come up with something. We'll come up with an NFL hat.
We'll figure it out. We'll talk to you about that one.
But I'm telling you. That's the bet. J.J. McCarthy goes before Drake May, and if he does, you buy me the draft hat of the team that J.J. McCarthy gets drafted by.
So what if it's the Miami Dolphins? What if it's the Miami Dolphins, then he goes? I'm saying that as an example.
He won't go. Like, the Patriots is concerning me at 3, actually. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't think it's crazy that he goes ahead of Daniels, even. I'm just saying that, me personally. I think that there's legitimately that McCarthy could go second or third in this draft. I don't want him to end up on the Patriots because I'm a Bills fan. And secondly, it's not a good spot. If you're J.J. McCarthy, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're way better off ending up on the Vikings with Jefferson and Addison. Like, you're way better off ending up on the Falcons than you are the Patriots. But more on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's like a nightly argument about J.J. McCarthy that I have with everybody. Now it's Mo Khan. we love Mo Khan, but I maintain he's going to go ahead of Drake May. But I got to tell you, this draft is one of the coolest drafts as far as just sort of the players that are coming into the league. And it doesn't mean they're all going to be stars, but there are some really, really good players and not just the quarterbacks, right? It's a really good draft, the first round. I saw an unnamed GM say, he said, normally there's really like only 10 or 15 guys that are actually first round picks in the first round. Right. You know what I mean? Like graded. He goes, but you know, somebody's got to go. Someone's got to get drafted. But he goes, normally there's 10 or 15 guys in the first round that are legitimate. Yeah. Legitimate first round pick talent. He said this year, he goes, I can make an argument. He goes, I see 30 to 40 guys that I can make an argument that are first round, that are first round. Look at all the wide receivers, Mo, in the draft.
Yeah.
Look at all the wide receivers, man. You got some good wide receivers. Like, you got the top end guys, obviously, with Harrison, Neighbors, and Ndunze. But, you know, we saw Worthy in his time. And, you know, you got the other kid out of LSU that had a good weekend as well. They're, you know, like Keon Coleman, as you mentioned, out of Florida State, who I like a lot. a lot of good wide receivers. It's a good draft this year. And then it's polarizing as well. Like you said, you and I are getting into it about May and McCarthy. I think McCarthy goes ahead of him. But what the hell do I know, Mo? And what do you know? We don't know. That's why it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out, bro.
It will be. It really will be, Gabe. And I think, you know, for the receiving class in particular, we can see six guys go in the second round. That's how much quality you have. And you don't have to get in Dunze or Neighbors or Harrison Jr. in the first five picks. You can say, I can hold off, get myself a different position guy, and go from there. And even O-line too, Gabe. Like, we can see maybe upwards of four tackles that go in the top 25 this draft this year. And so I think for NFL teams, I think that what teams are picking in the middle are going to pray for, or teams picking the top eight are going to pray for, is that quarterbacks go the first four picks, and that strengthens their draft position to say, hey, someone's going to move up to get a receiver. Or a quarterback might drop to where I'm at, and someone's going to trade up to get that quarterback at seven or eight. So I just think in how this plays out, if we see three quarterbacks go in the first three picks, or first four picks, whatever it is, I think it opens up the trade market and how this plays out for a team trying to get themselves that franchise guy. And you look at it now, Gabe, right? Picks 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, Raiders, Broncos, yep. Vikings included.
They can't wait. That's the problem. All those teams want quarterbacks. Minnesota wants a quarterback. Denver needs a quarterback. Like, there's no point blank. They're getting a quarterback.
Right.
They're going to jump up. That's why I know, like, all the work I'm going to put in trying to, like, do a mock draft and handicap this, Mo, the carpet's going to get pulled from underneath us with a couple of trades.
Of course.
Like, it's going to happen. Like you said, man, like, teams are going to look at Arizona with the fourth pick. They're going to get the calls. What are you guys doing with your pick? Like, what's the deal here? And then the Giants are interesting too, aren't they? After the Chargers there. So the Chargers, we know the Chargers aren't doing the quarterback.
No, but
I don't think the Chargers will trade the pick.
Right. The Chargers won't trade with Denver or the Raiders, right? They know that.
No.
So if you're right, the target is going to be Arizona and the Giants.
And you feel
like, just for argument's sake here, let's just say the Cardinals stick and take Harrison Jr. for the fourth pick. Chargers are the type of team where you might say, you know what, bleep Broncos and Raiders, let's trade that pick out and trade to, say, the Vikings, who need a quarterback, and prevent them from getting McCarthy or whoever might go as a fourth-choice quarterback after the first three.
It's a very good point, especially Harbaugh knowing. Harbaugh knowing McCarthy, he's going to be like, there's no way in hell I'm letting him end up on the Broncos. You're right. He'll put it out there to other teams and say, listen, you know Peyton's going to take him if he's there. And there's been a lot of talk that Sean Payton does love J.J. McCarthy, which doesn't surprise me.
Right.
Payton has a quick offense, right? Like, just quick hits. J.J.'s good at that. Boom, boom, boom.
Right, and not only that, right? LA's in serious cap hell. They need to get out of that. And you know, whether they get off of Max deal or not bring back Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and even Joey Bosa, trading down from where they are could be beneficial for them to get more cheaper picks to work with. Because for the present moment, Gabe, as you know, I know you always poke at me for picking the Chargers to win the division, but they need to get out of cap hell, and this might be the best solution.
Remember, when you got the job, Harbaugh, I was the one that told you. They got a lot of problems on that roster. They need to rebuild. they need to reshuffle.
It might be valuable where they can flip and get themselves an extra two, an extra three, and even a one next year. So LA could get out of that and hopefully get out of cap hell in the next couple of months.
And I also think that, too, because Brock Bowers to the Chargers, that's sort of the favorite right now, right? So, like, as far as the odds are concerned. But it's kind of a luxury item. I can see Harbaugh thinking, I can get a good tight end in the later rounds. I know these tight ends out of the Big Ten. Get one of the kids out of Iowa type of deal. They're all good. So as far as Justin Fields is concerned, I said it last week, and I beat Schefter. I think Schefter was listening to me. I beat him to the punch when I said, but I said the market isn't like a rabid one for Justin Fields. Doesn't mean the teams don't like him, but at the same point in time, they know the Bears have to trade him. And you have to pay Justin Fields after. So right now I'm looking at the odds here, and it's funny. Justin Fields to the Atlanta Falcons is -275. They're playing people on this. I personally do not believe that Justin Fields is going to be on Atlanta. I think they're going to draft a quarterback. I don't think he's going to be on the Bears. The Bears are the second choice at +350. So we're actually getting a little bit of value here. There are reports, Mo. Do you buy in that the Pittsburgh Steelers are content that they're going to go with Kenny Pickett this year? maybe it's just sort of like PR stuff that they're trying to play the market a little bit and not let people know they're desperate for a quarterback. But supposedly, like, the Steelers put it out there that, no, we're not chasing after all these quarterbacks out there. Justin Fields is plus 350. Your Raiders seems to make the most sense for me for Justin Fields.
Won't happen.
Let him compete with O'Connell.
Won't happen. Luke Getsy will never take him back, right?
I don't think so either. He's already there.
Right, and here's the thing for the Bears. You know, as much as they're going to take Caleb Williams, in all likelihood, for every passing day we go, so we have free agent frenzy next week, Gabe, right? Teams are going to start filling in quarterbacks, right? So there's that. For every passing day we have from here until mid-April, the value of Justin Fields will decrease because teams are going to say, you know what, the Bears are going to be desperate enough to maybe want a 2 to 4. And by the time we hit the draft.
Yeah, they're not even going to want to give the 2 anymore. They'll say, you're right. Right. They'll be like, listen, you guys are stuck. We'll give you a 4th-round pick.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So if you're Ryan Poles, you got to make the best deal for sure. But how long do you hold on to Justin Fields? Because the market is going to
open up. I'd be doing the deal right away. Like you said, bro, he goes, oh, we're not in a rush, but we want to do Justin right. Well, dude, you already got Caleb Williams talking about the Bears personnel on a stage, bro. Like, It seems to me that he's been told he's going to the Bears. Like, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, Bears basically told him, wink, wink, hey, welcome to Chicago. He's up there talking about the talent on the team, and he looks forward to it. And then he sort of dropped. He sort of walked. He goes, listen, I don't know. He goes, either way, I know I'm the number one pick, kind of like, ha-ha. Like, he knows. I think that Bears told him point blank, we're taking you. Just don't worry about this field stuff. I thought it was awkward that he was talking so openly about the Bears, though. For Fields, so the Raiders, you say no to the Raiders, and I understand that concept. The Patriots.
That's my wild card.
You know, yeah, if they don't, like, say, you know what, let's get Fields and we could get Harrison with the 3rd pick and really throw everything off in this draft. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. 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 It's my wild card, Gabe, because Alonzo Highsmith, former Miami Hurricane great, became a part of the Patriots personnel, right? He was a part of the team that brought Baker Mayfield to Cleveland in 2018. And he pushed for it, right? So he likes those type of projects, reclamation projects that can kind of build up here. And Justin Fields kind of fits that profile for the Patriots that, look, his value's gone down, but he's still competitive. And he can get better in the right system.
And he's better than Mac Jones.
And he's 100% better than Mac Jones right now. So
just being real, yeah.
Yeah, same draft class too, right? So if the Patriots are feeling, you know, frisky about it, then they might say, you know what, let's take a flyer on Justin Fields with our 2nd-round pick. And you're right. They can say with that 3rd pick, we can go Marvin Harrison Jr. or trade out of it to acquire more
picks. Or they could trade it to another team that wants one of the – exactly. They could really stockpile talent.
So I really think Justin Fields could be a wild card for the Patriots if they say, hey, you know what, maybe we're not in love with Drake May or Jaden Daniels. And we think that Justin Fields can be had at a good deal to be our guy for maybe the next 2-3 years and figure it out with him. Because, again, the Crafts are not going to fire Gerard Mayo in the next 2 years. They are patient owners for what they've built up. So I think they'll give him the leeway to say maybe he's our guy if Justin Fields does not go to the Falcons, Raiders, or whoever else might be.
Man, and then we got to watch the Commanders, who have the 2nd pick, who we don't really talk about much. I don't know what they're thinking, right? Adam Schefter reported that, he was on McAfee today, and he said, don't rule out Kirk Cousins returning to Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would surprise me a little bit, but yes and no. I mean, Snyder's not there. I mean, Kirk Cousins did like it there. So does he go there? I mean, it's not really the best fit if you're Cousins but if you're Cousins, it's about money right now anyways, right? So if they're going to pay you, they're going to pay you.
Sure. But I think, you know, if you're Washington, I mean, like, Washington had a sour taste with Kirk Cousins, if you remember, Gabe, right? They always vilified him in the 4th-quarter games when he was an old Redskin player at the time about how he would manage football games. He had some terrible 4th-quarters. And I don't think Washington fans are going to be open arms and say, hey, welcome back here. You're putting us over the top. They're nowhere near that, Gabe. They don't have
no, I would move on if I was Washington. I totally agree with you. Don't go back.
Move on.
Get a new guy. Get a new guy.
For sure. They don't have an O-line to work with. And for Cliff Kingsbury,
well, Jaden Daniels, if you like Jaden Daniels, it makes sense that, you know what I mean? He's athletic. I mean, you're high on Drake May.
I like Drake May a lot. I'm not saying I'm on the highest of highs here. I think Drake will go somewhere in the top three, if not top four. Pick your team. But I just think for where Washington is right now, for Cliff Kingsbury, he's got to find the guy that can run his system. And Kirk Cousins isn't the guy that can run his system as we think he could. Because remember, Cousins is eyed by the Kyle Shanahan type of OCs out there because he excels in that type of system. But I think for Washington, you got to stick with what you have because fans want to believe in the next franchise quarterback, whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whoever it might be. They want them to pick the right guy. You know, Josh Harris, the owner of the Commanders, is now in all the team meetings on what they might do. So hopefully they make the right choice.
Yeah, that's trouble.
About that. That is trouble, yes.
It is and it isn't. But, you know, they say, as most stated, the owner of the Commanders is sitting in with the quarterbacks and stuff. Like, he's sitting in the interviews, which I guess, you know what? You know, you spent $6 billion on the team. You probably want to meet who your face of your franchise is going to be. So I don't have a problem with it. But more, he shouldn't decide. I mean, we don't know the dynamics, right? But that's the thing. Because sometimes, that's the thing, guys. Owners really are the ones that make the decision with these big-time first-round picks. The GM can recommend and say, sir, we think Jaden Daniels is the guy, but we see it all the time, though, right? The owner can say, nope. I met J.J. McCarthy, and that's the guy. You know what I mean? Like, when owners get involved, bro, they have the final say, point blank.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mo, awesome stuff as always. Man, time just flew by here this evening as always, man. Any quick NHL trade hot takes in 10 seconds on the way out here with trade deadline coming?
Yeah, watch out for the Canadians. David Savard, Jake Allen, they might be on the block by Friday.
Mo, always great. This is Sports Radio.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're in a three-minute warning. Shout out to all of our guests for joining us this evening. The coach, James Young, Monmouth University in the house. Tonight, shout out to our boy, the coach, James Young, Regeretta, Cam Stewart, George Kurtz, Long Island, New York, representing Mo Khan. Always great with Mo. Show flew by. Shout out to Matt, not Jeff George, in the pit right now in Master Control Studio 34 across the street from Madison Square Garden. Speaking of the NBA, so we cashed both tickets tonight on the way out. Nice to go 2-0. We got a good read on this Sacramento team. Like I said, man. You can't trust them laying points. All their games are too close. They ended up blowing the lead. They lost the game outright. The Chicago Bulls ended up coming back and winning the game. 113-109 was the final score. Meanwhile, the Lakers absolutely drilled Oklahoma City tonight. 116-104 was the final score, but that's deceptive, right? Like, the Lakers were up all night. It was basically a blowout. But the Lakers did win 116-104. I wanted to get to Mike Evans a little bit, but shout out to Mike Evans. Congratulations to Mike Evans on his contract extension, 2 years, $52 million with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, Mike Evans is another one of these guys where it's hard to believe that he's actually had 10 1,000-yard receiving yards, like in 10 seasons in a row like this. If you think about it, too, like, it's not like Tampa have had great quarterbacks. Right, they had Tom Brady for a couple of years. Brady was older, but, you know, they won a Super Bowl. But, you know, Baker Mayfield, Ryan Fitzpatrick, what other guys like journeymen have they had? Right, like he's had a lot of like average quarterbacks over the years. You got to tip your cap to him. I personally have sort of taken him for granted. I used to just think he was sort of like, yeah, he's okay. But, nah, man, the guy's obviously better than okay. I was wrong. He's great. So, shout out to Mike Evans.
All right, we'll be back with the Twisted Tuesday tomorrow. I'll be on tomorrow with on the Pharrell Show at 3:25 Eastern Time, 12:25 Pacific, with some picks. We did well with our picks tonight. We'll keep this rolling tomorrow night. And the carousel and the NFL numbers will change. We'll get you some updated numbers and props as countdown of the draft is on. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.